Today, I'm meeting two more entrepreneurs from Block Dojo, the London incubator for startups building on the Bitcoin SV blockchain. Just before they went on stage to pitch their ideas to an audience of potential investors, I asked them about their plans to disrupt the publishing business and to give fans a chance to start their own sports leagues.
You're listening to CoinGeek Conversations with Charles Miller.
Today, writers write their script and send them to Little Regions. That's a picture of a Little Regions office I personally visited. You can see how many manuscripts are there. Impossible to read.
Arsim Shilova is a business executive with a career in consulting and aviation who wants to make publishing more efficient and give a better chance to the writers of unsolicited manuscripts.
And only 1% of these books ever gets published. And what's even more crazy, 98% of these books never make a financial return. Now we're on a mission to change that. We're bringing to the market the first digital literary agent.
So Arsim, what is Libraro?
Libraro is the world's first digital literary agent.
What does that mean?
So today, if you write a book, you send your manuscript to book agents or literary agents, as they're known. These agents have the relationship with the industry, and they are supposed to be there curating work for the industry. So you send it there, they evaluate it. If they think it's good, they might come back to you.
Well, if you're lucky, they'll read it at all, I think.
Actually, that's the reason why Libraro exists, because I'm going to tell you a little bit of a personal story. In 2017, I actually wrote a book and decided to try and get it published through the traditional way of sending it to a literary agent. And to my disappointment, I never got a response.
Was it a novel or what?
Yes. And I never got a response. And it just makes you feel a little bit, You don't know whether it's your writing, was it actually read, or anything like that. And I'm a bit curious by nature, so I decided to actually pay him a visit. And
unannounced.
Unannounced. No, I actually reached out and I said, I would really like to just just pay a visit. I really want to understand how the world of literary agents work. And they were quite happy for me to go and they have an office. And then when I entered his office, I realized why I never got a response. Because the office was full of manuscripts, similar to what I had done, was you write your three chapters. You spend days and nights trying to make sure it flows and it's correct, it's exciting, and so on. Then you print it and you send it out, and then it just goes into a pile.
So they hadn't read it?
They haven't read it. Just
right.
So that was, let's say, where the idea came from, that technology should be able to solve this problem. I asked the gentleman, I said, so how does this work? You know, physically, this is impossible to read. And he said, well, we have got a couple of options. He said, we try and read as much as we can ourselves. Okay, we're always engaged with the industry, trying to see what they're looking for, so they get some direction. And then they said they also use either students or stay-at-home moms to help them.
So they get the manuscript sent out as a kind of first reader.
Correct.
And so how does technology get around this
problem?
So
what we want to do is actually we want to make these manuscripts available to the readers, to the general public. And the idea is, Why should they continue to go in the process they have been going so far? Because A, it's physically impossible to read. Two, good writing is not coming through.
Right.
And good authors get discouraged by the process because you put all this energy into writing something and then it just doesn't go anywhere.
But literary agents at the moment could just publish these things that are sent and ask people to read them, couldn't they?
They could, but it requires, as I say, it requires a platform, it requires a bit of technology. And what we're aiming to do is we were here at Block Dojo because we want to utilize blockchain. Why that matters? The intellectual property rights are something of a concern to everyone out there. You write something and then all of a sudden you see something which is quite similar. You don't really know whether they've had access to it and stuff like that. So with us, at least, we're offering the authors an opportunity to bring these manuscripts online. We will use blockchain to timestamp their manuscript. Okay, so we know that there is a digital record and it sits in blockchain with your credentials, with a copy of your manuscript digitally. And that just provides a layer of protection.
So then if I'm one of the people who is going to try reading some of this stuff that may or may not be good, what would the experience be like for that person?
Our platform has two sides, the sides of the writer. So that's where you come in. You can either type directly or upload your content. We have the AI, which will automatically read your manuscript. It will provide a synopsis for you.
Right.
And I'm going to go another step further. It will also give you the option, should you wish to improve your manuscript.
Right. But then let's get on to the... Yeah. How are you going to find out whether people like what I've written or not?
So this part that I just described is with the authors. We believe authors are readers as well. But, you know, let's say on this other side, once you've done your job as an author and you've uploaded and you've accepted everything, then the manuscript will become live on the other side of our platform where readers we will invite and engage with. And the idea is you can read, you can see what other people are reading, you can see the authors that we have online. So it's almost like another, let's say, social community platform.
Because I think you're in touch with book groups.
Correct.
So those are groups of people who are doing creative writing?
Sure. So we are right now in negotiation with a group in London, a writer's group in London called London Writers Saloon. They have 20,000 members. And the idea is we want to channel these writers to our platform. It's quite fascinating to see and hear these stories, how people get together and write together. But the sad part is that, you know, you could be writing the next blockbuster. The process is not really allowing you to get out there. And that's what we aim to provide. Or we aim to basically become the conduit between the writers, engage with readers from early, and actually provide the industry with insights that they can invest in books with a ready-to-buy market.
So do those early readers, do they get the material for free?
The readers will always read for free.
Right. And so if I get one of these books and I like it or I don't like it, how do I feed back about it?
So when you engage with us, you will obviously create your own account with us as a reader. Every time you like something or when you search something, we are collecting data. We're not collecting personal data. We're collecting just basically your time you spend reading, what you're searching for, what you prefer to read. You won't be able to like a manuscript just by reading the title. The technology has been built like that so that you will have read. We know how much time you spend on that manuscript, so we know how long it takes to read three chapters. So the idea is we want to collect data in the background of real, let's say, literary lovers.
So it almost doesn't matter what I say about it, because actually you're just seeing what I'm doing in my behavior with the manuscript.
Well, we're seeing our behavior, and as I say, we're only collecting the data that matters. Mm. That's where we stop. But should you wish to, for example, interact with the author, you will have the opportunity to do that because you will see who the author is. You will be able to reach out to them directly, comment on the book. You know, these are all possible. That's what we want to encourage. Because our plan is to make sure that authors get a chance to not only show their work with the world, but actually build a fan base.
Right.
Because most...
Even before they're published.
Exactly. Today, you know, if you're lucky to go through and get published, it doesn't really guarantee any sales either. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have seen so many authors out there. You know, we all wear a badge. You're a published author, but unfortunately the sales did not really make up for it. And actually, the industry shows to us now that 98% of the books they invest in, they never make a financial return.
Right. Now, I want to just ask a little bit about you, because I know that your background is in a completely different field, that you've worked for many years for Airbus, for instance, amongst other things. This seems like quite a departure. What made you want to go down this route?
I'm entrepreneurial. I have spent the last 20 years commercializing technologies of all sorts. I have worked with Airbus for 10 years, but I've also worked with the likes of Bloomberg and Sony and McKinsey, to name a few. I focus on for example, understanding the technology enough and then focus on the market and understanding the market and try and create a link between what the technology does and what the market needs. So I'm very confident I can make technology work. And the more you understand something, the easier it gets. But I'm also passionate about reading.
Right. So did this idea, you talked about your own experience of sending in your novel.
Sure.
Did you formulate this problem and then think, blockchain is the answer to this? Or were you looking for something that blockchain would be useful for?
No, actually, we formulated the problem first. And we realized the problem exists. The more I talk to, let's say, authors, even industry, I realized that there was a huge disconnect. And then we decided, as a first step, actually, we decided to reach out to someone who was influential in the industry.
In the publishing industry.
In the publishing industry, that we could talk to. When I say I specialize in commercializing technologies, you have to be able to validate whatever you're doing. You shouldn't really just launch out there just because you think it will work. So with everything I've done to date, it always starts with validation. So we, quite simply, we made a search on Google, top most influential people in the publishing industry in London, and he gave us a list of 10. And then went on LinkedIn, they were all there. We reached out to a couple, but one of them responded, and it was actually the one I wanted to speak to, a guy called David Rush.
Right.
Okay. So David has been in the industry for a long time. He was a CEO of Borders, UK and Ireland, an exec with HarperCollins, and now actually a chair of London Book Fair. So I reached out to this gentleman. I said, hey, I've got this really interesting idea, and it's come from this, let's say, experience. And his response was, I would like to learn more. And when I actually presented to him what I had in mind, he said, listen, if you could make that available through technology, that's what the industry needs, because it's been going on for like this for forever. It's ripe for innovation right now. And he said, if you look at the numbers, 50% of the books published are actually self-published. So people are so tired and desperate with the traditional process, they actually go the self-publishing route. And, you know, I actually know what that means. I also have a book in Amazon. I've sold 2 copies. The reason is that I don't have any fans.
Right.
So to come back to your point, we then looked at technologies that we could utilize to fix this problem, right? So one is creating a platform, and that's been going on forever. But actually, if you look at so much innovation that has happened over especially in the last 5 years, I think blockchain gives us something unique. It gives us an edge.
Hmm.
This AI technology that we seem to become very familiar with nowadays, you know, it's allowing us to actually review content in a much better way than
right.
was done before. So it just removes a lot of obstacles, but it also provides integrity and assurance that you're doing something right.
Final question then.
Sure.
How is Librero going to actually make money?
Okay. So today, about 1 million manuscripts are sent out to 400 literary agents in the UK. If I just look at the UK, 1 million manuscripts, 400 people, impossible to read. Our plan is to channel these, or as many of these 1 million manuscripts, to get them online. And we will charge authors a small fee, a price of a coffee, to upload that content with us, and we will host it for them for 12 months.
Right, I see.
Okay. So that's the let's say, the primary step. Agents, literary agents today, they enjoy 15% or as much as 15% of all sales when the book is published. So we aim to use technology to let's say, find the next blockbuster and also enjoy from commissions that the industry will pay if we find a good book for them to invest in.
Amazing. Well, it sounds like a fantastic idea. I wish you every luck with it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, the ownership economy, often referred to as Web3, is flipping the business model on its head for sports and entertainment, where products and services are turning their users into owners.
James Hart wants to use blockchain to let fans create their own sports leagues in emerging sports, including esports, influencer boxing, and MMA.
We're going to offer a wide range of emerging sports franchises to Gen Z so that they can own them. And when you give fans ownership, guess what? They're highly committed to help. They'll help fund the league. They'll help design the league. They'll even help promote the league.
So James, what is Rumblebox?
So Rumblebox is a new NFT marketplace which allows sports fans to crowdfund new sports leagues or events. And in return for funding these events through an NFT launch, the fans would receive benefits that a normal sports franchise owner would receive, such as tickets, VIP access to the athletes, even rewards such as merchandise, more tickets to events, even monetary rewards.
So these would be events that wouldn't otherwise be happening. How would the fans kind of get together in order to make something happen that wasn't already happening?
So we're looking at emerging sports for a start, targeting Gen Z. So the sort of sports that they're interested in is, well, our target sectors for year one is esports. YouTube boxing is very popular at the moment. You've got people like Jake Paul and KSI who are effectively YouTubers and influencers launching their own boxing leagues, and they're getting more popular than traditional boxing for Gen Z.
Right. So if you wanted to offer that, how would that translate into your business?
So we take an emerging sports sector, say esports. We try and partner with a brand or an athlete or an influencer in that sector that connects with fans in that sport. And then we would leverage their audience to put their face behind the new sports league or events.
So they would put out social media saying, please go here and sign up or whatever.
So KSI, for example, is one of the most popular social media stars at the moment. If he wanted to start his own esports FIFA league, he could do it through our platform, and it would be KSI's Esports FIFA League. We could do events in London. If the events were profitable and successful, then we'd reward the fans through the NFTs.
And would the fans be paying in advance for the event?
Yes, through the NFT. But if there was no demand for the event and we didn't hit the funding target, then everyone would be refunded and the event would not go ahead.
Are these the kind of NFTs that you hope would be of value afterwards because they'd be unique?
Yes. The idea is rather than trying to target one-off events, we want to create a new sports franchise or sports leagues in these sectors such as esports and influencer boxing. And those are going to have long-term value. The more profitable and more organic growth that they get of the fan base for those leagues and events, the more valuable a season ticket pass is going to be or a VIP access pass is going to be.
What was your background that led you towards this idea?
So my last company was in ad tech. We built machine learning bidding algorithms for the flights industry on Google Ads.
Oh, right.
Launched a product at Google. And that company had some issues with COVID because we specialized in flights. So I started working on more passion projects for my next project, which is sports. We started working in sports and VR. Then we ended up getting an Innovate UK grant to design the combat sports metaverse and research sports NFTs. And it's here we came up with the idea for Rumblebox that we realized that people for their sports NFTs wanted real world utility. So real events in real life. They wanted events that are happening soon that were linked to their NFTs. And we thought, what better than to create a marketplace for all of these emerging sports that people want to go to events to, but they're not always in tune with the younger audiences.
And what stage have you reached and what contribution has being on the Block Dojo program made to the project?
Oh, it's been excellent. We've had very intensive consultancy work and workshops nearly every day for 3 months. Very deep diving into what I'd say is product fit or market need. When I first started the project, I really wanted to decentralize event promotion for combat sports, for traditional combat sports such as boxing and MMA. And the more that I interviewed big boxing promoters, MMA promoters, and also the fans, the more I realized it's going to be very difficult to try and change these big traditional sports. And the fans are more interested. The younger fans that are more NFT friendly are more likely to have completely different tastes in the way that they consume sports. For example, they like esports way more than football in some countries. They like YouTube boxing over traditional boxing. So we decided to focus more on emerging sports sectors for Gen Z.
How will a fan pay money into the app? Does Bitcoin SV come into it in that respect?
Yeah. So the prototypes that we've been putting together on the program will be using BSV for our platform. Potentially, we'll be looking at other chains in future, but we'd always put the fans and the customers first of what's the best solution for them.
So will they buy the BSV, their Bitcoin SV money, through the app, or will they have to go somewhere else and then bring it to the app?
No, the app would have a built-in wallet and credit card payment system where they can upload their wallets with BSV.
So they will need to be aware of Bitcoin SV when they're using the app?
Yes, but we're going for the model that one of the biggest NFT marketplaces has used, which is called NBA Top Shot. That was built on the blockchain. However, they managed to onboard over 1 million customers, and most of those had never heard of blockchain before. Mm. And they did that by, even though everything was run by blockchain, which enables the trading facilities to be traded a lot cheaper than using credit card payments, they priced everything in USD, but everything was being uploaded in the blockchain transactions.
Great. Well, it sounds like an incredible project, and I wish you every luck with it. So thank you very much for talking to me today.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much to James Hart and Arsim Shilova. There will be more entrepreneurs in my final Block Jojo show next week, when I'll be finding out about how blockchain can revolutionize property rental, workplace management, and the Italian food industry. So please join me, Charles Miller, next week for another CoinGeek Conversation.